good day, good night, and welcome to World Cup Today. Portugal with the victory this morning versus Morocco. It wasn't as easy anticipated last night, Morocco, Russia time. In Russia, Dwayne, Egypt fell to Mother Russia. Mother Russia 3, Egypt 1. The host country are moving out of the group stage. To the surprise of everyone, they scored 8 goals so far, the most prolific team in the group stage as of 1 game and 3.
Yeah, well, for sure. And I am live in location in Little Portugal in Toronto, a very subdued Little Portugal.
Yeah,
no honking today. But, I mean, we all had Russia as the most prolific team in our pre-tournament predictions, right?
No. Especially with their captain getting injured in the first game, getting subbed off, and it's actually a benefit. And Russia, the Russian coach... manager in the first game realized that, oh wait, those guys are good, I have a few, okay, maybe if I do this. And then the second game they did, and Russia was full measure against a depleted Mo Salah. Here, Dwayne, let's start there. Mo Salah played, he scored a goal, but almost more than 50% of every challenge he was part of, he was leaving it to the other player, not fighting for the ball, pretty much trying to escape physical contact as much as possible.
Well, yeah, it begs the universal question, is a 50% fit star player better than 100% plumber? And maybe, maybe not. He got the goal, but it was a penalty. He did earn the penalty. So, I mean, we'll give him some credit for it. But at any rate, it was, I don't know. And if you're Liverpool, you've got to be looking at this third match and just shaking your head. I mean, they aren't technically eliminated yet, but they could be by this afternoon. If they are going into this final game without a chance, like, you really play? Yeah. Like, if you're Mo Salah, like, I know it's the World Cup, and they only come around, he may never get another chance.
It's true.
So
I understand
the instinct to want to, but his career, like, he could be out for 6 months if he falls the wrong way on that shoulder. And, you know, that one, he could have gone from the top of the world, Premier League Player of the Year, playing in a Champions League final, playing well in the first 20 minutes.
Yep.
Bang. It could have just snapped and been done.
Yeah. What if there is ligament damage, right? That's the question. What if there's a, maybe not permanent, but long-term damage? You never know. Well, it's always a possibility with those type of injuries. He had his shoulder put back in during the game. It's never, you can have long-term damage when those injury occurs.
No, for sure. And I mean, look, different Champions League. But I'll point to Jose Altidore and the fact that we were saying that during the time that he's out for a long term. And you know, this isn't a club tournament, so we shouldn't be focusing too much on Liverpool. We should be talking about Egypt. But Liverpool is a factor here, and especially if you're a Liverpool fan, and there are a lot of them out there, you've got to be just cringing every time he's taken the field at this point. And especially, as I said, when you factor in the possibility that he may be at 50% right now, and is that enough to justify the play? I certainly think, you know, if Egypt has a chance to go through still, and that will take a bit of a miracle this afternoon for that to happen. But if it does, and the ball is round, blah, 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 so we'll wait and see. But if they do have a bit of a chance, then, yeah, he's probably going to play. But I think it'd just be dumb to play him in the third game. You got to just say, sorry, man, like maybe 10 minutes or something as a reward to him at the end or whatever. But it's just it's silly to risk it at this point for, you know, what is maybe a 1% chance, even if they do get the miracle result this afternoon, which will keep them in.
Yeah, given that it's going to be the game where Egypt can shine a bit, right? That they're playing against Saudi Arabia in their last game of the group stage, and this is maybe the game where Mo Salah gets a few goals, and the story ends well, it ends well in a way where they're all going home, but at least there's a few positives to celebrate. But that's the eternal question, and let's face it. Uruguay, Saudi Arabia this afternoon. It's not going to be pretty. Well, this afternoon, just a few minutes. It's not going to be pretty,
yeah.
And Uruguay is going to win. Let's face it. We've seen surprise results in this tournament, but not the following game. So by the time you listen to this, you might already know that Egypt is out anyways.
To me, the only way Saudi Arabia were to have a chance to win a game in this World Cup is if they actually did those placement games we've talked about in the past and went all the way down to 31 versus 32 and played Panama.
And even then, Torres is going to score at the 91st minute at Panama, just MLS Cup style or Panama style. So.
Yes, exactly. So we'd have to see. Maybe Panama and Saudi Arabia should schedule a friendly immediately after the World Cup just to end our argument here. But, yeah, it doesn't look necessarily good. And I thought that Uruguay looked okay in the last 10 minutes of their draw to open this thing up. Yeah. So, I'm interested to watch this game. I mean, I'm very interested to watch Spain this afternoon, as we'll know. And, I thought they looked great against Portugal. And maybe we could segue into Portugal today with a laborsome 1-0 over Morocco, who I thought was a little hard done by, but Morocco really, if Morocco had Mosala, then maybe they have a chance, but they have no finish right now. And they had all the ball at the end, and Portugal did. They looked very much like the Euros. So either you look at this as like, oh my God, you barely got by Morocco, or you go, hey, they're doing the same thing they did 2 years ago, and that worked.
You know, when the eternal comparison, I guess those two players are going to be linked for the rest of eternity. When you look at Ronaldo now sporting a goatee, which I don't know, the little goat move that he made last week and now having a goatee. I don't know. Maybe there's a message in there somewhere. I don't know. But insert your message here. But Messi and Ronaldo, just their performance right now. In their demeanor and how they interact with teammates on the field and how they... There's two ways to come at it when you're... Okay, let's face it. Those two players are way above any other player in their team, even though the other teams are not like... They're not terrible players. They're good professionals. Some of them are very talented players, except Pepe. Get your hair cut, man. Get your hair cut. It's terrible. Anyways, and moving on. The demeanor of a Messi and a Ronaldo is totally different. Messi, there's a bit of a... I don't want to say that he is not trusting his teammate, and as soon as he sees the start of a bad control of a pass or a missed opportunity, the feelings of, oh, we missed another opportunity, and the frustrations come back to the surface. And when you look at Ronaldo, he uses it more as he manages his players on the field pretty much, saying, go there and then give it to me. I'll carry you. I'll carry you, buddy. And together we're going to win it because I'm great. Yes, but we're going to win it still together because I'm the man. Yes, but still together we'll win it. You know, you give me the idea. Like, he carries the team and then he instills a bit of belief. And it's interesting, right? Because Renard, the coach of Morocco, had the job of carrying the belief of the result against Iran for Morocco and carrying it to this game and saying, guys, you never know what can happen. We'll get a result here, we're through, right? But that belief for Portugal can bring them at another level, and they can recreate the Euro if things go accordingly. If Germany stumbles again, if a Brazil stumbles, well, the roads might be open, and who knows, Portugal can squeak in.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you look at the draw. They have they're going to draw Group A in the second round, so it's winnable, right? And then suddenly you're in a quarterfinal. Who knows what happens from there? As we said a couple times in this, it's a pretty wide open World Cup. I think there's been no single team that's dominating beyond recognition. There's no Germany in this World Cup. I mean, it was pretty clear in Brazil early that Germany was on another level from everyone else there. And the only question we had is the fact that they lined up against the hosts in the semifinal, and we know how that worked out. So
I want to bring you to one graphic that I have here in front of me, Dwayne. And it's interesting because we talked about the predictions of the people versus like what advanced statistics all put together and you get a prediction would say. Okay, so this is the public opinion percentage of chance of winning the World Cup versus the statistical probability of winning the World Cup. This was a study made by Statista. You can find this on statistacharts.com. Germany, the public opinion was 23%. So 23% of the chatter out there, of the predictions, ours included, it's in there in there somewhere. It's millions of things compiled. It is 23%, but the statistical probability for Germany was 11%. That's on the run of form and everything included with the team. Brazil, 21%, and the statistical probability, the highest of the group, 19%. Then it goes to Spain, was 11% of the public opinion, 6% statistical probability. Argentina, 8 versus 7. France, 4 versus 11% statistical probability. So that's kind of the dark horse or contender we talked about. But Portugal, the team we're talking about, there were 9% statistical probability that it could happen, and only 3% public opinion saying that it would be a surprise in a way, but that's only 2% less than Germany. So technically, the gap is a lot less than we anticipated, and it's true in the result of this World Cup so far, and Portugal to win, 4 goals for Ronaldo, 4 goals for Portugal. As far as Ronaldo will go, Portugal will go, but that's the thing. There's no ceiling on Ronaldo.
Yeah, and look, I think a lot of us, when we look at Portugal, we're sort of blinded by the first 8 years of the golden generation, first 10 years of the golden generation, right? Where we looked at that, really, we go from 2004 to 2014, where Portugal, we always thought they had a chance to go deep. They got to the final of their host, Euro, ended up losing to Greece, famously. You know, Ronaldo in tears at the end, a very young Ronaldo, when you look back at that photo. It's something that I think that gets stuck in our head, and then we ignore this pragmatism that they've evolved into in the last couple of years, and we don't ignore it, we like use it as a negative. Well, they don't look very good, but the thing is,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, if you've got a world-class player that can break a game down, I mean, honestly, what they're doing the same thing as what we thought Egypt might be able to do in this World Cup if you have a world-class finisher.
Yeah, but with
you
better
play
talent.
Solid.
The rest of the team is more talented than the rest of Egypt, and that's a big difference. And the work rate of Ronaldo compared to the work rate of a Mo Salah example that you can judge now in 2 games, not even comparable. Dwayne, the heat map of Ronaldo is all over the pitch, and he's a striker in this formation. He's the guy up top, and you know what? That's smart. Just releasing him of any responsibility, use his soccer IQ for him to put himself, and not just himself. Look at him. Look at the tactical cam that you can see on FIFA.com that you can highlight just Ronaldo's play in like a circle. And he doesn't just place himself. He places the guys next to him, saying, go there. Okay, get the ball. Give me back the ball. Go back there. Run there. He's literally marshaling the offense and scoring everything and finding ways to be open when everyone knows the tactics. Guess what that tactic is? Give the ball to Ronaldo. Ronaldo's going to give it back to you. Wait, give it back to Ronaldo. And he still does it. That's what it's impressive to me. It's like you, me, my grandma, my stepbrother, and their kids, they know what the tactic is going to be. And he still pulls it off.
No, precisely. I mean,
are you there?
Yeah, sorry, you broke up for a little bit. But no, the tactics are such that you're right. And in many ways, we talk about the 1A, 1B thing when we're getting into the GOAT conversation here. And I hate that term, by the way. But nonetheless, the GOAT is the crazy guy in Argentina that is getting kicked out of the tournament for being a knob, but in terms of on the play. Or Pele, I suppose, but I'm not young enough. I'm too young to remember Pele, thank God.
Wow.
But anyway, but when you're getting... Well, yeah, thanks. Sorry, I'm too young for something.
Exactly.
The 1A, 1B conversation, you know, it's increasingly becoming like, you don't want to declare it, but you look at the last 3 years of Ronaldo's play, and then you start to factor in the great players around Messi and compare them to, obviously Real Madrid's a different gig, but you compare them internationally certainly to what Ronaldo's doing right now, and it's hard to compare, and you're starting to say, well, maybe it's 1 and 2, and maybe the little guys too, although I still think he's one of the greatest natural finishers we've ever seen. But
you know what, though?
It's
the work ethic. I think that's the difference, and it never stopped from Ronaldo. Like, Ronaldo's obsessed. Like, everything we hear about Ronaldo is always focused about soccer. He's literally obsessed by this game. Obsessed by being the best ever at this game. That's the obsession that he has. And, well, to be the best ever, you kind of need that obsession. And it's made for maybe not the best friend. If you're a teammate... There's a great anecdote that Patrice Evra mentioned online yesterday that is making the rounds. When Evra was playing with Manchester United at the same time as Ronaldo, Ronaldo invited him at his house after training. Say, hey, Patrice, come to my house after training. We're going to have fun and we're going to eat together. So they go together to the house, and it turns out that it was kind of like just a continuation of a training. They had white chicken with steamed vegetables as dinner, and that's it, and water, no juice, and that was really disappointing for Patrice Evra. And you had and then he's like, let's go play soccer in the backyard. Let's go play for like 2 hours and practice drills. That's the work ethic needed, and I guess over time, that work ethic kept on becoming even bigger and a bigger level. And the bigger the stage became, the bigger the practice, the bigger the different type of evolution of practice, recovery, sports psychology. Cristiano Ronaldo is famous for having a sports psychologist and a lot of people in his team to get him ready for moments like it's 3-2 Spain, you got 2 minutes left in the game, you got a free kick, and it's your chance to tie the game, and you actually do it. So, Ronaldo, the more I get to know about his path to where he is today, the amount of work, he's basically a blueprint of the amount of dedication it needs if you want to succeed at a high level at anything. It takes that amount of dedication.
With apologies, I'm going to compare him to a hockey player that just won a Stanley Cup here. In the sense that you look at Ronaldo when he was young, he maybe had that drive, but he maybe didn't have the same level of maturity and sort of understanding of what needed to happen to make that drive, turn that drive into success. Alexander Ovechkin, same deal. Brilliant players that in their own sports that were often seen early as selfish, me-focused guys that couldn't possibly win in a team concept. We saw Ovechkin win the Stanley Cup, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Caps fan, but I think it's an apt comparison, as a 30-something-year-old guy this year. We're seeing Ronaldo figure out how to play in that team concept with his otherworldly skills, and maybe it's the same result. And obviously, Ronaldo has the Real Madrid comparison there as well, which is a little more difficult to throw into the hockey equation because there's no team like that. But
yeah, and his role
over
a
the
bit
last
different.
3 years where he's figured it out there too.
But just his role now of being free up top. Can you imagine Real Madrid doing that? Like, imagine the new coach who I don't know who's going to be yet. I don't even see. Perez. It's the guy.
Yeah,
I know Lopetegui. Yeah. So imagine Lopetegui watching Ronaldo play for Portugal and be like, okay. So if I put Ronaldo up top, free of every single defensive responsibility, just let him do whatever he wants. He works so hard, he's going to track back anyways, and then he's going to do a 72-yard sprint for nothing, and then look at his teammate and be like, no problem, I'm going to do it again, because together we're going to win. And that's what he did in the game, the first game of the group stage. So yeah, that could be dangerous. Imagine Ronaldo free up top for Real Madrid with the service of Modric and everybody else. Yeah, that could be a lot of goals.
Yeah, well, no, for sure. I mean, if in the fact, he did make some hints he might move on this year, but that had a lot to do with his sort of relationship with the senior management at Real Madrid there. So they'll probably figure that out. Although, I don't know, like at this point in time, you're almost at the stage of his career where he might just want to challenge himself in some weird way, like to go.
Can I carry another team? Like, right? I just carried Portugal to the World Cup. Can I carry another team to the Champions League? PSG, can I finally carry you?
Porto or something, right?
Oh, yeah, go back to Lisbon and then trying to win the Champions League with Lisbon. If he does that, there's nothing else. Like, maybe that's what he's missing, right? Oh, maybe Delaney goes back and does it on a Tuesday night. I was going to say in Stoke, but Stoke gets relegated. So maybe he does it on a cold, wet Tuesday night in Wolves.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he's going to sign with the Aston Villa. So I don't think he'll be playing Stoke this year. So there you go. It's a brilliant guy. The headed goal was really muscular too. That's the other thing about Ronaldo, that when you compare him and do this messy comparison, which is impossible not to do, is he's just a more muscular player. And that, I think, especially when you're trying to carry a team in much the same way Messi has to carry Argentina, it helps to have that sort of physicality that Messi just simply lacks because of his small stature. He's just able to overcome that kind of hack and triple team kind of defenses that the best players in the world are going to find at a World Cup level. And it just helps from this level. I mean, two games in, we got to be careful. Yeah, and Messi, true. Messi could have a hat trick in his next game. He's Lionel Messi, like he could. So, it might be a different conversation very soon. But, I don't know what to... Portugal didn't look great in that second half, but how much of that was score effect? How much of that was them just containing that game, knowing that Morocco really didn't have a high-end finisher that could scare them?
And knowing managers, I wouldn't even be surprised if you want to test your defensive capabilities before you get to a game, a high-level game. I wouldn't be surprised after that goal, the manager looks at his players and whatever at halftime, like, guys, let's not even try to get a second one. Let's make sure we shut the door. let's make sure we keep this clean sheet. And if you look at the way Portugal played with a more defensive mindset, I wouldn't be shocked at all if it actually was a directive by the manager saying, look, let's just reassure our defense. And if a goal comes, it comes, but let's not force it.
Perhaps. I mean, you know, obviously they're going to take a goal, but yeah, no, to play defensively minded. It's how they won the Euro, not to belabor this, but it's how they won the Euro. And as I think I was, I never got to the point, I sort of got distracted earlier on, but I think that when we were talking about sort of that golden generation, it was only when they started to sort of realize their limitations and play solidly within them that they started to succeed. We saw them early on, I think, thinking that they were Brazil. You know, they had some great players, but they just don't have the ability to play free-flowing and not sort of solidly organized like they did it 2 years ago. Now they've had the success. They've seen that it works. They're in a World Cup confident. They're very confident at this point, too. They're through. They have the chance to, you know, with a good result. So we'll see what happens in the second game today, you know, whether Spain can hang a big number on it and then take advantage of the group or not. But you know, they potentially could go out as number one in this group, which will draw, you know, either Uruguay or Russia in that second round. Probably Russia, I would think, but you never know the way Russians are playing. And it's a winnable game, and away we go.
Yeah, my bracket's not looking too hot right now, but it's everyone's bracket, so I feel comforted.
Well, Japan broke everyone's bracket, basically,
yeah.
I think.
That win was something else. Speaking of broken bracket, Senegal 2, Poland 1, Senegal with the great own goal. There's a lot of own goal in this tournament. There's a lot of them, and I kind of like it. You know, you have to create the chance anyway. So an own goal is only an own goal by definition. At least we've seen it's not like clear own goal where the guy just booted his own net. It's always a pressure moment created by the offense, and it's either the defender misdirecting into the net or just a weird bounce that hits someone's knee and then finds a way in, like yesterday. But yeah, Senegal, the 2-1 victory, surprising a lot. The best African team, the best of an African team look so far was Senegal, and the only win from an African team this World Cup so far, too.
No, yeah, I mean, own goals winning the Golden Boot right now. But the Senegal conversation point is that second goal and whether or not it's fair that the player can, you know, be off the pitch injured and then be waved in and immediately, you know, create
too.
It
was kind of uneven.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange rule. It used to be that you had to wait to stop and play, and I think that probably made a lot more sense. And,
yeah.
And you know, especially when you want to eliminate the potential of time wasting, which that wasn't happening there. But
yeah, but in the span of those 2 seconds, you see Poland has control of the ball. So the guy has control. The ref waves him on at the same time as the guy turns around and does a back pass. So it's kind of a fluke event. The ref can't really predict that the guy's going to have the ball and make a long booted back pass when there's like another guy next to him, right? So he's kind of thinking, the guy's going to pass it, easy pass, keep possession because it's the thing that makes sense. Okay, Young, you can come back in. But then Young comes back in, the defender basically turned around, did a blind pass, and they're like, oh, crap, what did I just do? Then he tries to fix it, but he looks at the wrong moment, he turns around too and forgets to go for the ball. So Nyang gets it at the same time as the keeper is coming. That was a cluster, you know what?
Yeah, it's bizarro group right now. It's exactly opposite of what we thought it would be after the first game. So, it's a mistake for sure by Poland. And the polls didn't look particularly good throughout it. And you're right, Senegal, as you know, it's a low bar because the African teams have been horrible in this World Cup, but they did certainly look the best. And it was kind of nice to have, because so many of the African teams are not how we traditionally think of African teams, there's kind of lacking that color that we like to get out of those with the fans and all that, dancing and adding their particular style to a World Cup. It was nice to sort of see that playing out in the stands the other game.
Oh, yeah, like singing the entire game and the intensity of Senegal and that high pace movement mixed with the qualities of a Sadio Mane really showed a different look for an African team that actually has an identity of play, which can't really be said for like Morocco, Egypt, Tunisia. Like, how much of holding on for dear life is an identity of play? I don't know.
Yeah, the African qualifying, there's a question to be made about whether African qualifying truly gets the best African teams there. It is a very unforgiving qualifying. They're drawn into groups and only the winners advance. If you get a bad group, you could, like Cameroon, if you look back at their group this year, which is a traditional team, you'll see in World Cup, they really got in tough in that one. It's why Egypt, for many years, Egypt won the African Cup of Nations pretty consistently and were probably better than they are now, across the board, but couldn't get over that hump in a World Cup qualifying just because of luck of the draw. I mean, the thing about African qualifying, too, is it's so inconsistent in terms of your playing condition and travel circumstances and all that you can one bad result on like a dirt pitch can screw you.
And Egypt, like, let's face it, they got lucky in qualifying. I don't know. Did they score 7 goals in the entirety of qualifying or something? Or maybe 4 goals? A very few amount of goals scored by Egypt, like 7 draws or something in the qualifying process because, they couldn't score. So nil-nils and 1-1s were pretty much the story of Egypt's qualifying process and finding ways to get the result when it counted, and they got out.
Yeah, well, in many ways, Egypt, this is the weakest Egypt team of the
Egypt
last
is Greece.
4 or 5 cycles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they got through this time. That's African qualifying. So
yeah,
a lot of, I think, they do it, I think, because of just pure pragmatism, the way that they have to do it, that they want to, it's such a big continent, and obviously some of the countries that are participating don't have the same resources that we'll find in other parts of the world. Yeah. So they want to reduce the amount of travel, the amount of, games that they have to play to get to a World Cup qualifying, I believe is probably a big part of it. But it still is very unforgiving and probably, I don't think it does produce the best, most qualified team. There's better qualifying processes out there that do actually make sure that generally you get your best teams in there. There's always going to be a bit of outliers that pop through. But, for instance, I think CONCACAF's qualifying really does, because there are so many rounds and you end up getting with the 6 at the end, it probably does generally produce your best teams, this one being a strange exception because of what happened on that final day. But yeah, there's no perfect qualifying, but Africa's is certainly particularly imperfect.
Before we take a little break and come back and talk about the group so far, today we have Iran-Spain, which is going to be interesting. We have as well Uruguay and Saudi Arabia that we just talked about. And the game tomorrow morning, I have it coming in front of me in a second. Which is it tomorrow morning? It's, do I have it here? Anyways, it doesn't matter. So what do you think about today? Uruguay, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Spain. Is it going to be truly the 2 blowouts we anticipate?
Well, I mean, I'll be curious to see what Iran does, because Uruguay-Iran is interesting in the sense that obviously Iran got the win, so they can go in this with the idea that another draw will probably put them through. So that's something that they're looking at, and it would be a tremendous achievement for them if they were to get through. So they'll be all in for that. Uruguay didn't look particularly good for 70 or 80 minutes of their first game, but did pick it up at the end. So that's a fascinating game. The Spain game, Spain's playing out Iran. Never mind.
Yeah.
Spain versus Iran is going to be the same deal, though, right? Like, Iran got the win, so now they're going to do everything in their power and hack and shack and everything else with that. Saudi Arabia, Uruguay, we talked about that enough. We know what's going to happen there. I mean, we shouldn't say we know what's going to happen here. You can probably get, if you really believe in Saudi Arabia, though, I'm sure that there's a betting house out there that will give you very good odds on them. So knock your socks off on that one. But they're not the most spectacular games, but I'm very interested in seeing Spain play this afternoon, because I do think, I maintain, and I've said several times already, that Spain has looked the best of all the challengers so far. I'm surprised at the odds that you gave earlier, that statistically speaking, they gave them such a limited amount of odds. I guess if you look at some of the results that they've had in the lead up, there were some sort of strange ones there, but that first game, they looked great.
Yeah, they did.
Other than throwing a ball in his own goal.
Yeah, true. Denmark, Australia is the 8 a.m. game tomorrow morning, and at 11 a.m. as well, second game of that group, France, Peru. And that's an interesting game, too. Peru looked a lot better than the result they have in their first game against Denmark. They got a bit unlucky with Denmark's, own goal. Own goal, scored a goal in that one, too. So own goal, golden boot leader, followed by Cristiano Ronaldo / Portugal.
It's 5-4, I believe. It's 5-4.
It's 5-4. It's that close. That's how good Ronaldo is, too. And the other game, of course, tomorrow afternoon, the other one, the GOAT, the other GOAT, the Argentine one, the Argentine GOAT plays against Croatia. And that game can be fascinating in the afternoon.
Well, that's a good one. Croatia's good. And they could put a lot of pressure. You know, if Argentina does not get a result in this game, they're in trouble. I mean, if Croatia wins that game, Croatia wins the group if they win that game. And they look great against Nigeria. Now, I think Nigeria is probably the weakest team by far in that group, so you'd expect Argentina to get a result there. But, you know, you don't want to have that pressure of that last game. Although the last time Messi had that kind of pressure, hat trick. So we'll
see. True. That's very true. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a bit about the groups and what they've been looking after one round of the group stage games. World Cup Today is brought to you by sportsinspired.ca. Clothing inspired by greatness. Get your World Cup inspired collection right now at sportsinspired.ca. Dwayne, World Cup, and the biggest surprise right now, of course, is the performance of the host, Russia. First in their group with two games played, two wins, 8 goals for, 1 goal against, a differential of +7, and Russia for sure qualified for the knockout stage.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not shocked that they're in the position in terms of wins. It doesn't surprise me that they won both of those games. It really doesn't. If you go back to my predictions, I picked them second in the group. I think Uruguay's a better team, but we'll see what happens when that plays out. What surprises me is how dominant they've been in terms of the goal scoring there. We didn't expect that, because even when you're playing a weaker side, as you know, we see throughout this World Cup, it's sometimes hard to put the ball in the back of the net. Now, you know, how good is Egypt, really? How good is Saudi Arabia? We think we know the answer to that latter one, but
yeah,
but the former is a little bit more up in the air. So it's we'll see. I mean, I'm not surprised they're in the knockout round. This always, for the moment they had the draw, there was always a chance, particularly when you add the home field advantage to this. You look at home World Cups, other than South Africa, every host team has gotten through to the knockout round in history.
Yeah.
So pressure on 2026 Canada.
Yeah, but there's three, so that will still work. Continue, because you have at least two countries out of the three making it out of the group, so the stat will be untouched. Again, Russia, Uruguay, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia in Group A.
Yeah, so yeah, it doesn't surprise me there. We got to watch the second game play this afternoon to see, if Uruguay lays a marker down, then I still put them favorite to beat Russia in that knockout game. There's just more top-end talent.
Group B, Portugal, Iran, Spain, Morocco. Of course, there's only two teams in this group that have played two games. The rest played one. The rest of the teams following after this have all played one. So Portugal 2, win and a draw, 4 goals for, 3 goals against. For 4 points, Iran, 1 goal for. Again, Owen goal scored in this game for Morocco, but it was Iran. So Iran got that 3 points, Spain that 1 point draw. And they're playing Iran later this afternoon. Morocco, dead last in Group B with 2 losses. And they're going home after their next game. Group C, France and Denmark tied at 3 points. But France has a differential of +1, but 2 goals for, which is a difference with Denmark right now. Denmark, 1 goal for, 0 goal against, and 3 points as well. Australia, Peru, 0 points. In Group C, we'll see this play out tomorrow.
Yeah, the Peruvians, I think, are hard done by in terms of the result. But, you know, certainly the European teams in the driver's seat there right now, provided the results go the way you'd expect the rest of the way.
Group D, Croatia with 3 points, 2 goals for, 0 against. Iceland second with a draw. Argentina again second with that 1-1 draw against Iceland. And Nigeria dead last with 0 goals for and 2 goals against in Group D, Croatia, with the possibility of taking advantage of the group tomorrow versus Argentina.
Yeah, no, that Croatia-Argentina game is, you know, hindsight is 20/20 and all that, but right now what the results are in, we should have maybe been picking this one a little higher up on the games to watch list. It's going to be a fascinating one. I have been very open about how high I am on Croatia from the beginning, so It doesn't shock me that they got the great result against Nigeria. How much of that was they're playing well? How much of that was Nigeria playing poorly? Who knows? This game is going to be a great marker for that.
Group E, Serbia, the surprise, it was always an interesting matchup, Serbia-Costa Rica. The surprise is that Brazil only drew Switzerland. Switzerland, a better team than we anticipated. Sure, they got that advantage, and it was off a set piece and a header. Set piece, I think, is a theme of the World Cup so far. If goals are not scored by own goal, they're scored by set pieces. So Serbia, 3 points, with a goal differential of plus one. Brazil, 1-1. With 1 point against Switzerland, Costa Rica, bottom of the group so far. The question is, can Serbia shock my predictions and upset Switzerland or Brazil in those two spots? Is there a danger for Brazil if they don't perform in their second game? The thing is, Neymar limping off training, ankle injury apparently. Who knows if he's going to be 100%? Who knows he's going to have that pressure again like he did at the World Cup in 2014? Let's remember, Neymar did not play that 7-1 game. He was injured. So he does not have that stigma, but he wasn't there either to save his country. So what is going to happen in Group E? That is a question.
Look, I think we've got to give the Swiss credit. They do traditionally get to the round of 16. They played a solid game against Brazil. This is not the first time they've upset, you know, a power in a World Cup. It really isn't. So, that's not sleep on the fact that Switzerland's a decent side. So I wouldn't put too much stock into Brazil only getting the draw in that. I think both of those teams are still probably going to find their way out.
Sweden, Mexico, South Korea, Germany. I did not expect this group to look like this after one game, but it's only after one game. That's the caveat. Group F, Sweden, 1 goal, 3 points. Mexico, 1 goal, 3 points. South Korea, no goal, -1, 0 points. Germany, no goal, no points, nothing, and a goal against. This is not going to stay this way, or is it?
Well, I mean, Mexico looked so good against the Germans is whether they can replicate that against a lesser side. That's always, in many ways, Mexico's had problems with that in the past. That said, they've got to look at this as their best chance in a long, long time. They've got their biggest win probably in World Cup history, you know, maybe putting aside the round of 16 win that they had in 86. But this is a big result for them. And if they can maintain what they should do, then they're going to go out with a great chance to get back to match their all-time high, to win a knockout round for the first time on foreign soil. And, a great opportunity for the Mexicans.
A Belgium-Mexico semifinal?
Germany will be fine, though. Germany's going to be fine.
Yeah, Germany should be fine. I don't think South Korea will play necessarily well against its two game against Germany and Mexico. So, yeah, there's that. And we'll see this unfold in the next couple days. Group G, Belgium, 3 points. 3 goals for, 0 goals against, plus three. The second best differential in the tournament so far behind Russia. And there's a big difference of differential right there. England, second. One match played, 2 goals for. Harry Kane, Harry, you're a wizard. Plus 3 points. So you have Belgium, England, 3 points each. Tunisia, Panama, no points each. This is what we anticipated. This is pretty much the only group so far that has been going chalk.
Yeah, I was going to actually just say the word chalk to you at the end of this one. So we'll see England and Belgium when they play. That's going to tell the group.
And the last group that wrapped up yesterday, what a surprise result. This is the exact opposite. Like, if you read this upside down, this is how I predicted this group to be. But it's only after one game, of course. Japan first with 3 points, equal with Senegal, 3 points. Both team have 2 goals for and 1 goal against. Poland, third with 0 points. Colombia, fourth, with 0 points as well. The thing is, Colombia will be missing a player. There's players with a yellow card. James Rodriguez only played 15 minutes and got himself a yellow, another one, and he's gone for the third game. So, for Group H, this is Bizarro World. My prediction literally was Colombia, Poland, Senegal, Japan. So, I guess I know nothing about anything, and you take whatever I'm saying, you flip it upside down, and it becomes real.
Yeah, I mean, Japan is the result of maybe the upset of the tournament so far, because Colombia obviously was a quarterfinalist, and a damn solid quarterfinalist in the last World Cup. And
Golden Boot, 2014. all right, it was only six goals, and it was a bit different type of play. It was a bit more offensive than, like, defensive this World Cup, but still.
I mean, you know, you factor in the red card, you factor in Rodriguez not being available for the full match, and you can make some excuses that make some sense for Colombia's play, but they're still, three games, right? They're still in trouble. They've got to get a perfect result from here to have a chance to get out of this thing. That said, you know, we call this a bizarre group, but you look at those four teams now, and you especially watch them play in the last two games, and anything can go anyway. So I wouldn't make any...
Yeah.
I wouldn't be willing to put anything down on any result that plays out in this group yet. I don't think any team has been eliminated from winning the group and nor from finishing at the bottom of the group yet.
Exactly. On that note, don't forget to follow Dwayne on Twitter at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Larame, the show at Soccer Today SPN. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. We have a lot of brand new subscribers, and we thank you for your subscription. That way you get the podcast downloaded to your podcatchers after every show, few minutes after the live show is done. The podcast is available anywhere you do get your podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with discussions on Uruguay, Saudi Arabia, on Iran and Spain, and on Denmark, Australia, and getting myself hamped up for the Peru and France game at 11. I might be a bit jumpy during the show tomorrow. I warn you all.
Fair enough.
On that note, this show is brought to you by sportsinspired.ca. Get your soccer-inspired clothing at sportsinspired.ca, clothing inspired by greatness. And as always, my name is Kevin Larame for Dwayne Rollins. Until tomorrow, have a great soccer.